Welcome to the Sportscast, August 30th, 2018. Our college football preview, part three, is happening right now. And to have part three, you have to have Ryan Krista. Ryan, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. When you wake up in a day like this, it's kind of like Christmas for college footballers and football fans. You just want to hit somebody. And luckily, to the people around me, I haven't clobbered anybody yet, but I got that feeling, though.
It could get crazy. Now, like I have asked Tyler, are you more of a college football or a NFL football guy?
I guess I kind of follow a lot more of the news of college football when it comes on a normal weekend Saturday next week and when the NFL is going. I'm more apt to, spread out my time on a college football Saturday. It's on from, noon till, you probably can watch games till 1 or 2 in the morning. But, I'm not going to sit down for 14 hours, but I'm going to spread my time out. It's more about, the quantity. But on an NFL Sunday, it's more about the quality. You might watch, you don't get as much because, there's not as many games. But, I do love, the NFL and, my Denver Broncos.
Very good comment about that. I think you're right. I think NFL has better quality, and college football is not as much. I mean, you're talking about a good, amazing team versus a small college in Texas.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, college football, these next first couple weeks, you're going to have some stellar, non-conference games and some teams that don't play each other very much, but then you're also going to get, a lot of games against mismatched teams, and you're going to see a lot of blowouts, but, that's kind of just part of, the college football landscape.
And let's get the audience straight here. Ryan is SportsCenter. Ryan watches almost every sport. So, obviously, just to ask him if he likes college football better than NFL, then that's kind of an iffy question because he might like them both equally.
Yeah, am I geared up? Am I all in college football mode this weekend? Absolutely, because it's, tonight you got the fourth preseason NFL game, which is in, other than you want to, which his only purpose is to find, the last five or six spots of an NFL roster, that's what we're really playing for tonight. But, from tonight till Monday night when Florida State and Virginia Tech play, it's all about college football.
That is correct. Let's stick with college football. NFL, there's a lot of talk about that. Obviously, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing and everything, but we'll talk about that towards the end if we have time. But this is a college football preview number three, and we'll start with the ACC because that is your favorite conference because your team, Florida, is in the ACC Coastal. No. Wait.
Florida's in the SEC. Florida State is.
Oh, my
in,
bad. ACC. My bad. I confused, guys. Sorry about that. Let's start with the ACC. We got the ACC Atlantic, which is dominated by Clemson, and ACC Coastal, which I predict will be dominated by Miami. How do you see the ACC?
From years past, you could almost say this is a one-team league, for a long time, and that's being Florida State and everybody else. But, the tides have turned, several years ago, Dabo Sweeney, gets this interim job at Clemson, and little by little, he's built a superpower down in South Carolina. They've got great resources there, a great fan base. It's kind of like, sometimes you get in the ACC, you got more basketball-centered schools rather than football-centered schools. But when you got Clemson, you've got an SEC fan base in the ACC, so that gives them a lot of resources. And they got to, obviously Dabo is one of the premier coaches in America right now about building a program. Not necessarily a guy that, isn't a great X's and O's guy, but he's a great motivator, great, he's kind of the CEO, and that's what you got to be in college football. That what makes Saban great is that, you know, yes, he knows his football, but he knows how to build a winner, just like CEOs of Fortune 5 companies have to provide leadership for their company. And that's what a great college football coach is. And when you talk about the ACC, so obviously now you got to start with Clemson. And but, you know, Florida State is not to be forgotten. You know, they had a weak year in their standard last year, going, you know, 6-6 in the regular season. You know, Jimbo Fisher's out, Willie Taggart's in, you know, DeAndre Francois is back starting quarterback. So, yeah, I do think that team, you know, Florida State, while they may not be the team they were a couple years ago, you know, was not going to be walked over where they had Clemson at their place this year. You predict Clemson will win that division, but I don't think Florida State should be forgotten in the Atlantic, you know, that side of the Atlantic or Atlantic Coast Conference.
So who will win the ACC? Who will be in the ACC championship, and who will win the ACC?
Well, you know, then we talk about the other side with Miami, you know, being the team, you know, getting the most, you know, club going into the season. You know, we're going to find out a lot about Miami on Sunday night against LSU. There's a team that started, you know, win their first, 11 games of the year last year, and then they fell to Pittsburgh, got blew out by Clemson in the ACC championship, and then lost, you know, practically a home game in the Orange Bowl against Wisconsin. So, you know, they're, you know, even when they won games last year, they were kind of like a, some of the games they won were kind of by divine intervention. It seemed like they got it. You know, people who had seen them play knew that that really wasn't a true 11-0 team. You know, I think Mark Richt is, you know, again, you know, great, great coach, great CEO of that team. But, you know, I think they overachieved this year. And I think this year, though, with a lot of pieces back, this team, you know, could kind of make, well, definitely, you know, I feel like they can kind of coast through their side of the conference, which I don't think's as strong as the other side. And I think they will meet Clemson again as a rematch to the ACC championship. But again, Clemson will win and probably move on to the college football playoff.
And do you think Boston College will beat Miami, Clemson, or FSU?
That's kind of, you know, that team everybody's talking about, you know. Yeah, got a good running back, good quarterback, you know, when Boston College is good, they run the ball great, and they play great defense. And this is Steve Adagio's kind of got things going last year at Boston College. They, you know, on a Friday night, they destroyed Florida State, you know, which is kind of their, you know, statement game of the year last year. You know, have a lot of good momentum going. What's that going to equal to this year? You know, could they get the 9-3? That'd be probably the absolute high ceiling. I feel like they're more of an 8-4 to 7-5 team. Yeah, they just don't have those, you know, great playmaker for this team. But in the end, I think they're going to struggle beating some of the great teams in their conference.
And will Trevor Lawrence from Clemson start, or will have a touch on the ball this year?
He's gonna play. You know, whether he starts, I don't know if he's going to start. You know, Kelly Bryant, I struggle. You know, Kelly Bryant, you know, doesn't have as much physical tools as Trevor Lawrence does. He doesn't throw the ball as great. You know, he's a good athlete, Kelly Bryant, but you know, I think he's a great. You know, it's kind of a word we don't, quarterbacks don't like to be persuaded as, but you know, perceived as, but a game manager, you know, he runs their offense well, you know, he can run himself, you know, he's an accurate thrower, you know, doesn't have that great deep ball, but I think, I think the fan base is going to be clamoring for Lawrence at any site of trouble this year, so, but I think, you know, they will blow out a lot of teams, and I think Lawrence will get a shot, but, you know, that's kind of a $1 million question. If they lose a game, I think Lawrence will get his chance. But let me bring you back to about 4 years ago when Deshaun Watson was a freshman. He was the kind of same situation. Deshaun Watson was a highly regarded quarterback coming out, and they had a returning quarterback named Willie Korn. You know, they played an opening game against Georgia. They struggled mightily, you know, with Willie Corn playing. Next week, Deshaun Watson, you know, comes in, starts the game, and the rest is history for Clemson football. So I think that's kind of, you know, what people have been looking at. So they're going to wait for a game where Kelly Bryant doesn't provide the dynamic offense that Clemson fans are used to, and then insert Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I think you got your starting quarterback for the next 3 years.
Trevor Lawrence, the future of the Clemson football team. Let's go to the Big 12, the weakest conference. Me and Tyler were saying, I got Oklahoma winning it. How do you see the Big 12?
It's kind of, you know, the standard Oklahoma, but, I'm, when you lose a player like Baker Mayfield, how do you move on and become that, pick up right where you left off? You know, Kyler Murray was another highly regarded quarterback who went to Texas A&M a couple years ago. Was unhappy there. It's playing time. They had 2 5-star quarterbacks, him and Kyle Allen, got there. And they both ended up leaving. He ends up at Oklahoma, playing baseball there. He gets drafted by the A's. So that's, pretty unique. So he's a little bit distracted in the sense of been busy playing baseball. But he's a natural, athlete, runs that kind of, be pretty good running Lincoln Riley's offense. But in the Big 12, it's all about offense. And you got to be able to score, 30, 40 points a game just to survive. It's a different type of football than, than a lot of, especially conferences like the Big Ten, which is born on defense. Big 12 is, has their calling card on offense. Spread offenses, up-tempo, a lot of plays. Everybody kind of runs that similar style framework of their offense.
And who will finish
I,
off?
Like, I do think of...
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with a wild card here. You and Tyler both like Oklahoma. I'm gonna give you West Virginia.
Yes, which I have them as number 2. And I guess you're thinking TSU is right behind those two. TCU.
Who'd you say?
You
TCU,
think...
TCU is TCU is like the team of the Big 12. Since they've come in the league, they don't get the 5-star necessary athletes that flood the rosters of other marquee teams. But they, Gary Patterson, who's a fine coach, gets the most out of his team. I do think they lost a couple of pieces. They're going to be hard to fill on both sides of the ball, but I do think third place is probably where a safe spot for TCU. Or I think the Texas Longhorns, Tom Herman, his second full year there, I think he'll, they're going to take, they're starting to get those recruits that they weren't getting with Charlie Strong out of Texas, And if it's not this year, it's going to be next year where they're going to be making a run at the Big 12 title.
And there you go. That is our Big 12 prediction, the weakest conference of the top 5. Let's go to the Midwest, the Big 10. As you know in news, Ohio State, the coach, Urban Meyer, got into a little bit of a trouble, just got 3-game suspension, little boo-boo. And they say it's open. It's wide open. Or is it not wide open?
That side of the conference is very wide open, Santiago. When you've got 4 powerhouses, and this is where I think the Big Ten, if they beat up on each other in that side of the conference, they could be at the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. If multiple teams, have 2 losses. The Big Ten East, you got Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. All 4 of those teams are playoff caliber teams, But, like I said, are they going to beat up on each other? I think Ohio State has the most overall talent. Penn State probably is the most established, especially playmaker in Chase McSorley. But, they have a lot to fill in there. Saquon Barkley was a great player who did a lot of stuff, not just running the ball, but kick returning. They lost two great receivers, a tight end. Are they going to be able to, and their offensive coordinator is not a coach in Mississippi State, Joe Moorhead. But I do, Chase McSorley is that type of player, Baker Mayfield, that could take a team on his back. And I definitely think they could win, the Big Ten East. But the safe pick, would be Ohio State on that side, but Michigan brings, fourth year of Jim Harbaugh. They returned a great defense, probably the best in the conference. And now you're bringing in Shea Patterson, who had a decent, career at Mississippi. Michigan's all going to come down to how can they protect Shea Patterson or any of the other quarterbacks that may play this year.
So you say Michigan will win the Big Ten East.
I've been flipping back and forth, I'm gonna go with Michigan.
Michigan, Harbaugh comes through. The Big Ten West, I have Wisconsin. It's a weaker part of the conference, but what do you think about the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I definitely think Wisconsin will go through, but this, they got a lot of pieces, kind of the underrated team always in the Big Ten, the Big Ten, the forgotten, power. All they do is play defense and run the ball, which is, ever since Barry Alvarez was the coach there. Jonathan Taylor, great freshman season. I do think they win the Big Ten West, but I think the Big Ten West, isn't going to be a cakewalk as it was last year. I think they're going to stub their toe in one of their conference games on SI, whether it be, it could be any of those teams, Purdue, Northwestern, and Nebraska maybe. Yeah, I don't think Scott Frost will, win a lot of games this year in Nebraska, but I do think he's going to get a big upset, and I think that could be when they play Wisconsin this year.
And who will win the Big Ten?
If it's going to be Michigan, Wisconsin, I'm going to go Michigan.
Michigan wins the Big Ten. It could be. I mean, Wisconsin doesn't sound too convincing, but on paper they do. They're predicted to go all the way. Let's go to the Pacific Ocean, the Pac-12. You got the Pac-12 South and you got the Pac-12 North. And I chose USC to win the Pac-12 South, which contains USC, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, and UCLA, headed by Chip Kelly. Who do you have for the Pac-12 South?
Talent, you got to go USC, compared to the other teams in that conference, I don't think there's any comparison, but, If Wisconsin's underrated in the Big Ten, then Utah is underrated in the Pac-12. Every year they play defense and they run the ball. If Utah can develop, Tyler Huntley at the quarterback position, and being able to stretch the field and throw that ball, I do think with USC coming to their house this year, that's going to be the game to decide that side of the conference. If we're having this talk 365 days from now and things are going the way they're going, I think UCLA will be the pick of my I'm a Chip Kelly fan. I enjoy watching him. There might not be anybody who changed college football more in this generation than Chip Kelly has, because you watch a game on Saturday pre-Chip Kelly coming to Oregon, the game looked totally different than it does. Everybody runs those up-tempo offenses now, and no one huddles very rarely. The offenses might be schemed a little different, but they all got a little piece of Chip Kelly in them, I believe. So I think he's going to do the same thing he did at Oregon. He loves the West Coast. He's comfortable there. And it may be not next year, but it might be the year after. But he's going to bring in athletes and speed, and he's going to really bring up that rivalry between USC and UCLA back to importance.
So you got USC, LA winning the whole Pac-12 South?
I'm gonna go. For this year, I'm gonna go USC. But I would not be surprised with Utah. But I'm gonna go USC.
I got USC, and then Pac-12 North, the probably the most competitive part of the Pac-12. You got Washington, Stanford, Oregon, California, Washington State, and Oregon State. I got Washington to win the Pac-12 and the Pac-12. I mean, Pac-12 North and the Pac-12.
This is the one that, you know, I'm pretty confident in USC. I'm not very confident in this side of the conference. You know, you got Stanford, who's always kind of a wild card. They probably got the best player in, maybe one of the best players in college football, definitely the best player in this conference, and that's Bryce Love. You know, is he able to hold up injury-wise this year for 12 games? I just don't know if they have enough around him this year, you know, in Stanford to win their division. Oregon has the best quarterback, Justin Herbert, but we learned last year, and if he doesn't play, that team doesn't go. And Washington probably has the most complete team. You know, Myles Gaskin's a good running back. Jake Browning's a good quarterback. I just never think they're a great team. I think they're a really good team. And, you know, 48 hours from now when they play against Auburn, we're really going to find out about Washington. I've been leaning, you know, obviously, I think the game of the conference, this side of the conference, like USC or Utah is on that side. Oregon, Washington is going to be on that side of the conference. I'm going to go with the Quack Attack here, Santiago. I'm going to hope Herbert stays healthy. I think they're going to win that side of the conference and play USC in the Pac-12 championship.
And who will win the Pac-12?
I'm going to go USC. I think too much overall talent.
USC comes back and hopefully get back to their glory days back in the late 2000s.
Let me bring you back to one more unique point, you know, about coaching in the Pac-12. I know they're not really going to be a factor, and I don't think they're going to be a factor anytime soon, especially if this hire doesn't work out. Herm Edwards coming to Arizona State is very, very unique, you know.
Huge.
He's an unconventional coach, even when he was in the NFL. He's kind of been a little bit unconventional here in college, you know. This whole, hire kind of blew up, you know. They paid, you know, Todd Graham, the former coach, $9 million just to walk. And the plan was for everybody else in the staff to stay. And Herm Edwards really, you know, being kind of a hands-off head coach and just being really just a true CEO. But a matter of him getting hired, both coordinators quit or found other jobs, and now they, you know, they really have to restart this whole plan they had. But I think that hire could end up being really great or really disastrous.
How about Kevin Sumlin?
Kevin Sumlin had, you know, a pretty good situation at Arizona. Khalil Tate kind of fits what he wants to do offensively with the spread option. They just don't have a whole lot on the offensive or defensive line in Arizona. If he's given enough time, I think Kevin Sumlin, without the pressure of A&M and playing in the SEC, will be successful. Whether that just means winning 9 or 10 games consistently, that's probably what is it going to be expected of him at Arizona in a couple of years. But right now, I think it's going to be a fun team to watch as Khalil Tate this year, but not really a team that's going to compete for a division or especially a conference title.
Well, there you have it. That is the Pac-12 prediction. Ryan says USC, and I say Washington will win the Pac-12. Let's go to the almighty SEC. SEC East contains Georgia, South Carolina.
Santiago,
yeah.
It just means, right?
What happened?
That's SEC. Their slogan, it just means more. So.
Well, we got the SEC East, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and the SEC West, Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas. Wow, this is a loaded conference, just reading it all out. Even the lower table teams are pretty good. Let's start with the SEC East. People are saying Georgia. I'm saying Georgia. What does Ryan say?
It's got to be Georgia, San Diego. You know, that breaks my heart being, you know, I bleed blue and orange, you know. I chomp till I die, but not this year, you know. I believe Dan Mullen was a great hire for the Gators. You know, hopefully as good hire as Georgia made with Kirby Smart. You know, who else has made that much change, you know, that quickly? from basically going, you know, having an average football team, they inherited to, you know, really one, you know, one half away from winning the national championship. You know, they do lose a lot on defense. I think they lose a tons on defense, you know. They were lucky that a lot of the players that could have gone in the NFL the year before stayed because, you know, they really wanted to do something big like they did last year. They lose two great running backs, but, you know, the SEC East is, I think, will become, you know, tougher. I think Mullen is a good hire. I think Pruitt is a good hire. You know, I think, you know, Stoops and Kentucky, you know, they're going to compete. But, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, Derek Mason does the best he can with what he has. But, you know, they might have a good year here and there, but they're not really going to compete. But I will think it's going to really come back down to the Big Three in the SEC East starting next year with Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. But this year, it's all Bulldogs in that side of the conference.
Georgia has to take the advantage of the rebuilding in Florida because Florida will be built for 2019. Let's go for the SEC West. We got the powerhouse Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas. And as a given, Alabama should win this. They have the Iron Bowl at home. Who do you have?
The old slogan at San Diego, if you have two quarterbacks, you know how many quarterbacks you have, you don't have a quarterback.
Last year,
Jalen Hurts, you know, was able to win games, play good enough to win games, make enough plays to win games. And then, you know, when it all came down to the most important game, he got benched. Tua came off the bench, saved the game, won the game with a great throw. And now Tua goes from a backup to the Heisman Trophy leading candidate. That's crazy. you know, issues like this can really divide a locker room. I know Nick Saban is, you know, the best for a reason. And I, you know, he's got a plan, but right now he's naming co-stars, which is, yeah.
It's not good. It's not good.
But, you know, I think, you know, they got Louisville in the opening game, which is good. Yeah, you know, I think it's perfect because it's good enough for either quarterback. They're really not going to be challenged just because Louisville's in a rebuilding phase right now. But, you know, good enough competition where you can really tell, you know, which quarterback, you know, can take the lead. So, it's an extremely important game for tomorrow night for Alabama. Not to say to lose, because I don't think that's even possible right now. But for to figure out the rest of the season, when they got, you just named, you know, five really good teams they're going to have to go against in that conference.
Yeah, but if you had to choose from the two quarterbacks, who would you be your starter? Would be two out, or would it be Jalen?
Oh, I mean, you know, Tua is, you know, extremely gifted. Seemed to run the offense well. That's hard to tell because, you know, teams didn't really prepare for Tua. Last year, Georgia, you know, was prepared for Jalen Hurts, and they did a great job against Jalen Hurts. You know, Jalen Hurts is limited throwing the ball, accuracy-wise, definitely. You know, good arm, but, you know, he can't, you know, when you, you know, force him to throw the ball and be accurate, that's when Jalen Hurts struggled, and that's what Georgia did. But that's what Tua does well. He's accurate, you know, got a good arm. I think ultimately, Tua will win because he just does more things better than Jalen. So, but with this new redshirt rule, you know, here's an important fact to know is that Jalen Hurts graduates in December. If he's thing plays under four games, he will still have 2 years of eligibility left, transfer next year, and he could be the biggest college free agent in
ever.
College football history. And
that is,
yeah,
that's a good fact to know.
And also, you know, he doesn't have to sit. He could go starting. I think he will be a starting quarterback next September, not at Alabama. But that's just, I think if they figure, you know, this out, this week in Alabama gets rolling, they win the conference, and that's my pick. But, I think there's going to be some entertaining games, especially, you know, I know they home against Mississippi State and Auburn, which helps. But let me circle one game for you. In 2 weeks, when they're going down to Oxford, Mississippi, you know, Alabama laid a whooping on Ole Miss last year. But remember, who beat Alabama 2 years in a row? And that would be Mississippi. And I think, you know, if they can make enough stops, Mississippi will win that football game.
Wow.
That's my bold point of the year.
Even
bold prediction of the year. But
even with the suspension of the two quarterbacks the first game. Well, yeah, they got plenty of time to come back.
Mississippi State. I'm talking about Ole Miss.
Okay, so you see Ole Miss is the spoiler.
Yeah, because that's going to, if Tua is starting that game, and that's Tua's first road start of his career in a hostile environment, you know, I think Ole Miss will be jacked up, because then Ole Miss can't go to a bowl game this year. That is their biggest game on their schedule, and they will be ready to play that game.
Wow, good point. That's something that we'll probably never hear from Justin Riley, our other SportsCats commentator.
That's Justin Riley. I don't, you know, he's got a lot of great points, but he's Alabama in the mind, that's for sure.
Yeah, he has that tunnel vision. He just, it's just
perfect, and this is another exception. I do think, like I said, I think they'll stub their toe at Ole Miss, but, you know, they'll still win their division, and ultimately, I think there'll be another classic showdown at the Mercedes-Benz between Georgia and Alabama for the SEC championship, and I'll say Alabama does get through.
Which, by the way, they will also host the Super Bowl.
Yeah, big year.
So I was going to – they got a couple good games going on in 2019. Okay, so this is part of the show where you name your top four. This is my top four to make it to the playoffs: Alabama, Washington, Wisconsin, and Clemson. What's yours?
I'm going to go Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, and USC.
USC. I think we have two different teams. That sounds good. It should be good. I'm glad we have the playoff system. I think it should be six max. Like having a wild card, you know, games, and then, you know, like the top two just have a bye week or something. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm as used to say college football and that, you know, you know, the Power Five does provide a lot of great football, and they're bigger and they're stronger. But when you want to be entertained, you watch a lot of Group of Five football, and there's a lot of good teams, you know, like a UCF last year. You know, were they one of the four best teams? No, but, you know, you want to give them something to play for, you know, and I would love to see them getting the best Group of Five team get a chance to, you know, at least playing the big boys, you know, in the playoff. But until we go, it's just, you know, six or eight teams, that's never really going to happen.
And with the top four, who wins it? I mean, who will go to the championship and who will win it?
I'm going to go with another rematch of Clemson and Alabama.
Ooh.
With Clemson.
Keeping it conservative. With Clemson winning it, right?
Yeah. I know it's a like you said, it's a pretty conservative, bland pick, but, you know, when you go talent for talent, those are the two most talented teams, I believe, in the country, so.
You made a few points about the whole quarterback issue. I think, you know, having two co-starters, that's not good. I think you got to have one quarterback starter, stick with him for the rest of the season, and because a lot of psychology is going to happen between Tuao and Jalen, so you got to keep it with one. But we'll see what happens. Maybe, you know, Nick Saban is the genius. Maybe he'll make it work. So we'll see what happens. And that wraps up our college football preview. Actually, we do have predictions. Hold on. Let's get back into the...
I think Auburn, they get this victory here. You know, they're in a two-game losing streak. We're talking about Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're in a two-game losing streak at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they don't want to go 3-0 with that stadium.
You don't, but that's a big game. I mean, we're talking about number 6 Washington against Auburn. That really starts off the season with a bang.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a big game for Washington. They kind of actually Auburn, you know, was an hour drive, I guess, from Auburn to Atlanta, so it's they'll have a huge home field advantage. So.
Should be a doozy. Notre Dame, Michigan. Michigan and Notre Dame.
I'm going to say Michigan.
Miami, LSU at the AT&T Cowboys Stadium.
Miami.
And Virginia Tech at Florida State in Tallahassee.
This is a tough game, you know, back and forth. I'm going to go Florida State just because they're home.
And for honorable mention, Liberty at Army.
Well, that's next week. How about Liberty ODU?
Okay, well, yeah, go ahead. We'll see.
First ever home game for our alumni. First ever home FBS game. You got to go with the Liberty Flames this week. I'll be pulling hard for Turner Gill and the boys to get that victory.
There you go. And that is our college football preview. College football begins tomorrow night, probably the biggest game.
Before we go, I'm going to get.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my upset special of the week. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I can't wait for this game. I'm going to say the Wayne Crane goes into Norman, Oklahoma, and that game goes down to the last minute or two with FAU and Oklahoma.
That's a big game. That's right. That'd be on Saturday, September 1st, 12 p.m., and that's a big match for FAU. So we'll see how the Lane Train does in second year and maybe turn that school around. He gets paid $1 million a year, right, I think?
Oh, more than that. I'm probably about that. He signed a 10-year. I mean, San Diego, the previous coach in 3 years won 9 games. He's on a 10-game winning streak right now.
Ooh, sounds.
That's his coach. But he had some tough situations, you know, at USC, you know. But he had sanctions. He was going, you know, it was a tough situation for him. I think this is rebuilding, you know. He rebuilt his, you know, offensive mind with Alabama, and now he's rebuilding himself as a great head coach. You know, this time next year, we're probably talking about Lane Kiffin at a Power 5 head coaching job.
We'll see, unless he wants to stick with his team so he can make the team go to a higher conference. But that's another show to talk about. College football, preview number 3 is wrapped up. Let's go to the NFL. Aaron Rodgers getting a good extension. What are your thoughts?
It's a lot of money. But, you know, in the salary cap era, it's, you know, when you really have to pick and choose if you're giving out this humongous amount of money. I know Aaron Rodgers has meant the world to the Packers franchise. They don't want to see him leave, and they want him to retire as a Packer, and this pretty much solidifies that's going to happen. This is, you know, kind of a thing. Thank you for all he's done for the organization, you know, and hope to, you know, make one more run or two at the Super Bowl. But the negative side of when you do that, you really put a, you know, hindrance on your organization to fill up a competitive roster, because that's a lot of money going at the salary cap each and every year. That's why you see players like Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack demanding high contracts, but they're organizations are standing firm that, you know, it just doesn't work. You know, like, you can't be giving out these huge contracts because, you know, if you want to build a Super Bowl champion, you know, everybody's got to buy into that.
Aaron Rodgers will have a $134 million extension. He'll be getting more than $80 million before March. And the bulk of that is a $57.5 million signing bonus. He'll be the highest guaranteed money quarterback or player in the NFL. And yeah, good for him. It feels like a Kobe Bryant deal, what they gave him in his last couple of years with the Lakers. So, and what will happen with Khalil Mack? Will he get traded?
I don't know if he'll get traded. You never get equal value in a trade like that. You know, basically, I think you're going to have a standstill. He's eventually going to report, probably. He might even report after this last preseason game. You know, everything you hear on the radio and the internet, there's just no, they're not even talking, which is this is not a good, you know, situation.
Yeah.
On board of, you know, understands what he's doing. You know, there's not going to, I don't think you're going to see him, you know, while they might not be talking John Gruden and Khalil Mack, I think there's an understanding of why he's doing that, and he's on the same board, which is kind of good for Khalil Mack, you know. So when he does return, you know, he's not going to be on the bad side of a new coach. Eventually he's going to sign, he's going to report, because, you know, he's going to lose a lot of money in fines. But he's just kind of making a point that he feels like he deserves more money than he's getting paid.
And the Jets have made Sam Darnold their number one starter. Is this a good move by the Jets? Is this good for Sam Darnold? Or what difference does it make?
Oh, this is a huge move, you know. They basically, you know, the Jets are known for not being the smartest franchise ever sometimes, you know. But they basically picked Teddy Bridgewater for nothing. You didn't have to give up much to get Teddy Bridgewater. Going in and trading for a third-round pick, you know, which is awesome for the Jets, you know. The guy that didn't start a regular season game for them, and he ends up getting a third-round pick for it. and now you basically have to start, you know, I think they weren't expecting Sam Darnold to be this ready to play right now. Does that mean he's going to have success? I don't think so right now. But I do think that he will have long-term success with this franchise. He's just got everything. You know, I think we talked about before the draft, he was definitely the most polished, ready-to-go NFL quarterback from that group that got picked in the first round.
The Jets will have a franchise quarterback, and I think it's Sam Darnold. And he'll definitely last longer than Mark Sanchez. And is Teddy Bridgewater the future of the Saints?
The Saints basically said that yesterday. You know, Drew Brees is, you know, I don't know, he's got 1-2 more years left, probably.
We say that every year.
It all depends, you know. We say that, but every year he comes out and throws for almost a record-setting amount of yards, you know. What Drew Brees has got going for him now is that he's got Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara running the ball, so when you've got a good running game, it takes a little less pressure off of you. You're not going back. You're not throwing. You're probably getting better pass protection if you can run the ball. So they're probably adding a couple years to his. But, you know, you basically, if something does happen to Drew Brees, you've got a quarterback ready to step in. You won't take too much of a step back.
And I think Bridgewater is a very good quarterback. And I think if anything happens, I think it'll be a nice move in. To be the starting quarterback once Brees leaves, or if something ever happens. That is our NFL, little preview of NFL. College football had the you know, bigger piece of the pie, but NFL is definitely kind of come up. A lot of people are doing some fantasy. And a random question, what round in fantasy do you choose your quarterback?
Depends who you're picking, you know, how many people, but, you know, in most scoring system, you want to, you know, touchdowns are worth so much, you know, and, you know, independent yards, you know, what your points are for how many yards you accumulate, you know, you probably want to get your big-time scoring running backs first, you know. I'd say end of the first, definitely by the second round.
I say the fourth. I get, like, the running backs and the wide receivers out of the way first.
Yeah, you know, it all depends on me. Like I said, many people in the league, there's a lot of starting quarterbacks, but, you know, some of them just pass. They hit us, toss more touchdowns. something and the other. So, you know, it's, yeah, you can't go wrong, you know, picking your franchise quarterback, whether it's in the first, second, third, or in your case, the fourth round.
There you go. Well, Ryan Crist, thanks for coming on. How can people reach you?
Probably the best off is Twitter, Mad Dog Report 18, Facebook, look me up, Ryan Crista. Yeah.
And which game will be the biggest game of the weekend, or which one you'll be more paying attention to this weekend?
Well, you know, my house will be decorated blue and orange, but that's not going to matter too much because hopefully the Gators roll over Charleston Southern, but... The game that got my heart, though, will probably be Liberty ODU. Going back to our days of Liberty, I stood in many games where there was 100 people there at that game, and, you know, and no one else on campus really cared, and now we're going to have 25 people at a game on Saturday, which is, you know, an extremely big deal in my case. But, you know, where my TV set's going to be Saturday, the most important game we talked about is probably going to be Washington and Auburn, you know, as probably the biggest effect in college football for
position,
you know,
wise. Yeah.
The most interesting game, you know, is probably on Sunday night for me is LSU and Miami.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
that game I'll be watching, and we'll just see what Miami's all about. Will they continue that trend onto this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to be answered in that game for sure.
The Miami of old, the U of the 80s, U of the 90s, and the early 2000s, will that dynasty come back? We'll find out. 2018-19 college football season. Ryan Crista, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
I'm good. Thank you, San Diego. Love you, Mindy and Cleet.